I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Ha ha! And here it is, the next netcast after the previous netcast aforementioned beforehand. Yes! The previous netcast, of course, was number 313. That makes this 314. Ha ha! Yes. Much schooling. That's how I know that. So, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Of course, we are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. And, of course, we are broadcasting here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Glad you could join us. Hope you're having a fun weekend. See, as I record this, it's a Sunday. Now, normally I do the show on a Saturday. But yesterday, I had a bad case of the sorries. I don't want to do nothing. I mean, I really didn't want to do nothing. And so I did. Lots of nothing. It was quite sad, actually. I was quite upset with myself for being so sorry. Anyway, what gonna do? So, today is another day. It is a day to be more engaged. Yes. So let's look at the old blog, shall we? The blog, of course, is drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Yes. Don't want to be chewing on my mustache. Not a good thing. Just saying. All right. So, I have a picture here, a photograph image of a comparison of different browsers. I'll put it up on the screen here. You're looking at it going, what? Yes, it's quite odd, but what it does, it compares different types of guns to different kinds of browsers. Your weapon of choice, shall we say. Okay, so looking at it, the top one, of course, is the most powerful, the most awesome weaponry you can get your hands on, and that is, of course, a Google Chrome browser. Yes. The next is still quite good, automatic, powerful, excellent weapon. And that is, of course, Mozilla Firefox. Then you get down to, starts to say Oprah. Boy, that would be wrong. Not Oprah, Opera. Sometimes I make these mistakes in my brain, and it doesn't even come out of my mouth, but I find it funny, and I laugh at myself. Even though I didn't say it yet. That's how it works sometimes. Anyway, Opera, the browser, is compared to a handgun. Okay. Then we go down to Netscape Navigator. Some of you aren't old enough to remember Netscape Navigator.
Of course, I remember it very well. Yes, I have fond memories of good old Netscape.
Anyway, Netscape is like one of those piratey guns, because it's old. But the one that I like is Internet Explorer. It's some kind of convoluted, totally non-standard, ridiculous gun with the barrel pointing back at the user so that when you fire it, it'll shoot you, which is the perfect representation of Internet Explorer. If you use it, it will shoot you. Gotta love that. That was something that somebody sent me in an email at work because they knew I'd appreciate it. And I did. My title on it was, "How cool is this?" And I said, thought exercise, what if web browsers were guns? Note the venerable old Netscape browser logo. That sure brings back memories. And of course, whatever you do, you sure don't want to use Internet Explorer. Enough said. Okay. Now, speaking of cool, this happened to me. I was driving into work. Now, we won't mention that if I heard this on the radio driving into work, I was running late. Sorry, I was. I was running late going to work. And as I was listening, the morning DJ said that it had just turned 08, in other words, 8 in the morning, 08, 09, 10. So 9 minutes after 8 and 10 seconds on 11, 12, 13. So what you ended up with was 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, 13. Dude, score! That is a complete win, I'm telling you. Cool. You know, I said that the numbers, the date has aligned, the time has aligned. Maybe it's time for a Doctor Who 50th anniversary special. And somebody pointed out in the comments that actually the British put it, you know, the other way around, so it wouldn't have worked out, you know, timeline-wise. It's all timey-wimey. By the way, the 50th anniversary special is coming very, very soon. Dude, like next weekend. So fire up those DVRs and get them ready for the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special. I mean, it's wonderful. There's even some theaters that are going to be showing the 50th anniversary special in the theater on the big screen on that Monday. In other words, not tomorrow Monday as I record this, but the following Monday. Yes. That would be awesome. So, Doctor Who on the big screen. Of course, I would have already seen it on TV, but still the big screen would be worthwhile. Particularly since you have to watch Doctor Who several times just to get it. At least I do. Anyway. So, next item, speaking of coolness and winning, win! The PlayStation 4 is based on open source FreeBSD. Oh, that's just so awesome! I'm quite happy about all of this. Yes, you read that right. The premier new gaming console, which I misspelled. I'm going to have to fix that. Runs... oh, well. FreeBSD under the hood. Win! Cool. This is reported by the Register. Sony has confirmed that the Newgasmic game console, the PlayStation 4, on sale today in the good old US of A. This was, of course, on, I guess, Saturday. Yes, I posted it on November 16th, so I assume that's what it was. Uses a modified version of the open source FreeBSD operating system. In a license page on Sony's Japanese site, the company lists the software used by the Pew machine. What? That's what it says. The Unix derivative FreeBSD features prominently. The PS4's Orbis OS is based on the tech. Speculation surged in June that Sony had loaded a modified version of FreeBSD 9 onto its console after images leaked online of the console's development environment. Sony's no stranger to the open source world. Its PlayStation 2 programming kits were Red Hat Linux machines, although it's infamous for dropping Linux support for the PS3. But the PS4, dude, open source operating system, well, it's based on open source. Awesome. Good choice, Sony. By the way, Sony's doing okay with PS4s. 1 million PS4s were sold within 24 hours of them going on sale. Apparently, they have a winner. Okay. There are a lot of people that said the game console is dead. You know, if you can sell 1 million of them in 24 hours, I think there may be a market for them. You know what I'm saying? Just saying. Suhei Yoshida, president of Worldwide Studios for Sony Computer Entertainment, posted the news on Twitter Sunday, which would be today, as I video this. Videofication. I could clean the screen. Anyway. Next item. This is cross-posted from VertZine. VertZine, of course, is the online magazine of virtualization and cloud computing that I also do a netcast for. As a matter of fact, I'm going to record a netcast for it right after I record this netcast, so stay tuned! Anyway. So, this is cross-posted, originally posted there. A young developer offers a private Google on Raspberry Pi. Now, you know that I think the Raspberry Pi is cool. Matter of fact, because of this article and because of this software that this guy wrote, I finally got around to ordering one. They had a deal, and it included the Raspberry Pi, the power plug-in source module, the little case, little plastic case to put it in, and a few other little odds and ends for like 60-some bucks, which is pretty cool. Now, this free software called ArcOS, A-R-K-O-S, there on the screen, that software this guy wrote because he was annoyed at Google for discontinuing the Google Reader. He'd had enough. He said, I'm going to write my own Google. Well, pretty much. So he did. He wrote one that had a reader built in and a cloud computing platform for having your own files in the cloud, like your own little private cloud. I call it the Mist. When it's your own little tiny private cloud, that's the Mist. Anyway, so, you know, I've said before that if you have your own private cloud at work, that's the fog. So your own private cloud at home must be the Mist. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of a, yeah, okay, never mind. Anyway, so here it says, for most of us, Google shutting down Reader was annoying. For Jacob Cook, it was a call to arms. He's now building an operating system that anyone can use to replace all of the services that Google provides. Maybe not all of them. Or any other cloud company for that matter. Email, chat, file sharing, web hosting. With Cook's ArcOS, you'll be able to run all those essential services on a secure private server in your own home. And the server will be about the size of a credit card. Dude. I don't have a credit card handy. I'd show you a credit card, but it's about that big. So there you go. Isn't that cool? ArcOS is a Linux-based server operating system that's designed to run on the popular diminutive Raspberry Pi hardware. Eventually, it'll be able to run on other platforms, such as the BeagleBoard. That's a competitor to the Raspberry Pi. Or even full-size PCs, if you want more power, more power. Running on top of ArcOS is Cook's open-source Genesis application, which provides a web-based interface for controlling the different services running on your server. Genesis is open-source, and all the files are available on GitHub. And you can also download the ArcOS files and install them yourself. However, the project is still in its early alpha stage of development, so Cook advises against using it for anything serious just yet. You know, when it's alpha, you're kind of like, yeah, you know. But still, that's just so cool. If you'd like to support his project, he has a cloud. It's not quite right, is it? Crowd. That's what I'm trying to say. Crowd support model where you can actually pay him some money through PayPal or whatever, and he will be able to continue to develop this, which is pretty doggone awesome. So when I get in my Raspberry Pi, which by the way is backordered, it'll be in eventually. When I get it in, I will set it up and I'll put ArcOS on it and we'll take a look at it and see how it goes. Sounds like a geeky fun project to me. So I'm looking forward to that. Whoa! Way to go, Fred. Fred's just been quietly sitting back there going, I'm going to get him any moment now. And then he does the drum roll. He loves that drum roll button. Anyway, Geek Software of the Week this week. That's why Fred played the drum roll. Panda Free Cloud Antivirus. Now, there's a couple of words in there that I really like. Not necessarily panda. Panda's okay. It's a nice word. But I like free, and I like cloud. Free Cloud Antivirus. How cool is that? So that's this week's Geek Software of the Week, and it says, come on, folks, you have no excuses now. You can use a free antivirus. And I already had a free antivirus last time. This is yet another one, but this is cool. It's light and only works where necessary. It's so light you won't even notice it, it says. It's easy. Don't worry about complicated decisions ever again. Panda Cloud Antivirus will make the best decisions for you to keep your PC protected. It's secure. Panda Cloud Antivirus is based on collective intelligence. We are the Borg. You will be assimilated. Collective intelligence. A system that continuously collects and analyzes viruses and other threats. Gathered from the community of millions of Panda users around the world. And it is, of course, free with no tricks. Panda Cloud Antivirus has a free version that protects you against viruses and malicious websites. Coolness! So like I said, no more excuses. You will use an antivirus and you will use it now. I know I'm being heavy-handed. And speaking of heavy-handed, Google has done something that has a lot of netizens. You know what a netizen is, don't you? A member of the net community is a netizen. A lot of netizens are up in arms, miffed, upset, because Google, of course, owns and runs YouTube, and they've now made it to where, in order to leave comments on YouTube, you have to use Google Plus. So, Google Plus and YouTube, people yearning to be free, is what I titled this one. People like personal choice and freedom. Every time a big company, or government, or any large entity pushes something on folks, they get up in arms and take on demand. Yes. And so that's certainly what's happening with Google's forced integration of YouTube and Google Plus. People don't like being forced to do things. I don't know, like buying insurance when you don't want to. Sounds familiar, huh? Just saying. Anyway, Google Plus forced integration on YouTube backfires. Petition hits 112,000 people have signed a petition for Google to let go, set our people free, not require them to use Google Plus. Google's war on anonymity. Being anonymous. During its involvement in the NSA controversy has imploded as it's moved to force YouTube commenters to use Google Plus, and its unwanted real name policy has backfired. On November 6th, Google changed its YouTube property to allow only comments from Google Plus accounts, thus de-anonymizing commenters as the principal element of its site-wide comments overhaul. Now, I understand that to a certain extent because anonymous Google, comments can be cruel, evil, and uncouth. Some of them are downright unreadable. Not to mention poorly spelled. But at any rate, now at least if you're going to comment on Google, you got to own up to it. And they got to, it's got to be a real person like you doing it. But they're all bit out of shape about this. YouTube user fury is fueled by the anti-plus petition with over 112,000 signatures increasing by the minute. This update was on November the 17th at 10:12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As of that point, there was 167,000 signatures. Dude. So, One guy said, why am I unable to comment? I've been a YouTuber for 3 years, and this is the kind of treatment we originals, before any of the G-plus crap came in, received for refusing to show our name publicly? Another one, we want privacy. I do not want my full name on YouTube. I do not care for Google+. So stop shoving it in my face. Kind of reminds me of, you know, I do not like green eggs and ham. Sam, I am. Well, this guy's name is Nathan. He had to use his real name because it was Google+. So anyway, pretty wild stuff. So, fight for your freedom. Yes, at least on the net and in real life. So anyway, remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.